Well, good morning and welcome to the Underhood Show. My name is Josh Prophet. I'm the service director here at Mel Hamilton Ford. And today we have a special guest. We have Casey Gresseth with BG Products with us today. Good morning, Casey.
Morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Yeah, sunny and 70 outside, right?
I know. Just driving over here, I was like, man, we're there.
Going to be a nice day. You know, I think spring has sprung, which is great. I'm glad to hear it. So today we're going to talk about a couple of different things, you know, with AC being one of them for sure. And then we're also going to talk about some other BG products that you guys have to offer. But first, before we do that, we've got the number up on the screen there, but call in. It's a call-in show, 316-462-3673. That's the number to jump on the air here with us, and we want to talk about anything automotive. You want to talk about tires, brakes, batteries, check engine lights, BG products. You guys have a great line of BG products that we offer back here, and we're going to get dive deeper into that today for sure. But give us a call, 316-462-3673. For each and every caller that calls into the show, we offer a package that's valued at over $130, but it's going to consist of the works package, which is a can. I'm just going to jump right to your stuff. So it's a works package, which we use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford as an oil change and tire rotation. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle. So check over the tires, brakes, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components, just making sure that vehicle's geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the dealership, as well as complete nitrogen for your tires, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer for your vehicle. And then a BG products package, which usually is a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then a can of CF5. But today, and today only, we're going to switch that to a GDI service, which we'll get into more in the show and what that GDI service does for you as well. So today's value is going to be over $130. So let's get the phones ringing, 316-462-3673. That's the number to jump on the air here with us and talk about whatever you want to talk about automotive. So good morning, Casey.
Good morning.
So how are things going at BG Products?
Things are going good. I think, you know, we're starting to get back to normal. Everything's trending in a really good direction. We got a lot of new things in the works and pushing a lot of vehicles through our testing lab. So,
yeah, you know, one of the things that we've used BG products forever from that side of things. But one of the things that I find most intriguing about you guys and what you do is how you're continually doing research and development. I mean, it is always looking for the next thing, the next the better way to take care of a product, even if you have a product, and just the number of improvements that you'll make to it, you know, over that product's duration, it just never stops for you guys. And that's what I like so much. Being in this industry, it always changes. It's always evolving. Things are always different, you know. And what you guys, the lengths that you go to make sure that you're on the cutting edge of that is what I love about the BG products for sure. So
there's a lot of work goes into the research side of it. And it's got, you know, there's multiple aspects to it. You know, on the one hand, you're trying to keep up with today's engine technology, make sure what you're using is the most effective for the vehicle. On the other hand, you know, as oil and fuel regulations change, we have to make a lot of like kind of unsung changes to products and stuff to make sure that they're, you know, compliant with current standards. You know, there's a lot of specific criteria for oils nowadays, and you know, you don't want to put in something into your oil that's going to offset your, you know, your compliance with those things. So it's a lot of work, but it's definitely pays off and keeps our stores concurrent, you know?
Well, and like what you're saying, as far as the research and development with it, I mean, you're geographically, even you guys aren't just looking at meeting compliance with one area. I mean, you guys are global. So it's, you've got to, whenever you develop a product, it's got to be good to go everywhere. And I'm sure that's a lot of extra effort. Let's say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here, you know, I think our default thought about a vehicle is that it's a gasoline engine. And, you know, if you go to Europe or even Asia and some places and stuff, you know, the default is diesel.
Yeah.
And their standards for diesel are a lot different than ours. And so, you know, that's that's where we spend a lot of our time focusing, is how do we make the most out of the amount of product that we get into that car and make the biggest difference for the consumer.
Yeah, you know, like you said, being over here, diesel is kind of the, everybody thinks diesel, they think heavier truck, towing, you know, over the road stuff. But then, you know, when you get over to those other countries and everything's pretty much diesel, whether it's a passenger car or whatever, would definitely be different for sure. So, but so today only, we're going to exchange the BG products package of MOA and CF5. We're changing that for the GDI package. So I wanted to get in and talk about the GDI package and kind of what that does and how that works for a consumer. And a couple of different things that in doing that, what's the need for, part of that package is a can of, I think you guys call it 109, which is compression restoration. Is that correct? Is EPR. It 109? Okay, yep. So EPR, and what that does and why we use it. But first, the very first reason that I want to get into why typically that I see that people need it is over-service of oil change intervals, I think is probably, from our perspective, is kind of the number one reason of a consumer to need that product. And so what happens is your oil wears, you know, and it's not, it's producing sludge, it's producing, you know, buildup on the backside of the piston rings from that side. And so what this chemical does, you pour it in before you change the oil, and it goes in, it breaks up that sludge and it breaks up the piston rings and allows to free them up from that side, and takes all that stuff and basically puts it down in the oil pan so you can drain it out. And that's probably the number one side from what I see of the reason of using that GDI service. I don't know if you,
that's
what,
a big part
really
of
what
it
was designed for with you guys and kind of what that chemical does. So explain to the listeners some of that.
Yeah. EPR is it's a light oil-based cleaner. And, you know, one of the changes that's been happening in vehicles over the years is that we've seen a shift towards low tension piston rings. They're just thinner, and they exert less pressure against the cylinder wall. And that's great for fuel economy. I mean, in fact, we can get just incredible mileage out of some of these vehicles. But the flip side of that is that we're also going much, much longer between oil change intervals. And there's some brands out there now that are 20,000 miles plus on a drain interval, which is, I mean, to me seems nuts, you know?
That is, that's absolutely crazy. You know, when I think of that interval, you know, I think, okay, not only the oil, but then I think of the filtering the oil. I think of the tires not being rotated. I think of tire pressures not being checked. I think of how much wear a person can have on brake pads in 20,000 miles. And so we're not looking at that. We're not looking at treads. The tire treads. I mean, you could literally buy in some cases, a lower budget tire, and in 20,000 miles, it could go from new to gone, from that side. And so, but I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but.
Oh, no, that's a good point. Yeah. And, you know, whether or not you're going to be interested in BG products, if there's one piece of advice I think Josh and I could both give you, it's that changing your oil a little more often is a small investment in the long-term durability of your vehicle. You can't go wrong doing your oil change more often.
Yeah, that's or even just at a consistent interval. I mean, it's not uncommon for the number of cars that we see day in and day out, whether I'm walking back in the shop or on the service drive, you know, moving vehicles or looking at vehicles. And I don't know why, it's just there's something in my brain. When I get in a car, I look up at the oil change sticker and then I look at the odometer. Like I could be moving a car for really no reason. And that's my go-to thing when I get into it. It's just,
and he remembers all of them.
It's a knee-jerk reaction. Now that part of it, maybe not so much, but, and I don't think consumers really, you know, do that much. Everybody's busy. Everybody's, going and it's, very often I'll get in something and look at it and we're, you know, 600, 700, 1,000, 1,200 miles over the oil change interval. And that just drives me crazy.
I don't want to shame anyone, not going to mention names, but it's someone that lives at my house.
Oh,
10,000 miles.
Yeah.
I got in and did the exact same thing. Yeah. I never drive that car. And I got in and I looked and I'm like, is that right? Like, is that accurate? Because if so, we got a problem.
So you yourself needed a GDI service then to go with that service. Okay.
And I got one. So about like the piston rings, you know, a piston ring, to put it in like the most watered down terms possible, is just a seal, right? It's a seal between the combustion chamber and the crankcase. You've got fuel up top, you got oil down below. And if that seal is functioning properly, those two should never mix. The problem is that those seals have to move and flex and stuff around your piston. And if they get gummed up with oil deposits, because we're going a long time between oil intervals, they just can't move and flex the way they should. And what happens is we lose the integrity of that seal. We get something called blow-by, which is basically means that oil is pushing its way up past the piston rings into the combustion chamber, where it burns off and it leaves behind a lot of deposits. And this is gas or diesel. And diesel's maybe even more critical, because you've got, you know, three after treatment devices in your exhaust system that now have to catch all those metal particles and stuff that burning oil gives you. Fuel vapors also push their way down into the crankcase and they contaminate the oil that's left. So it actually causes your oil to break down prematurely. So it's kind of a snowball effect. You know, a good oil and engine maintenance has ramifications, not just for the engine, but for the fuel system, for the way the car runs and drives. And that's kind of where EPR comes in, is it's a cleaner that goes in with the old oil, like Josh was saying. It gets nice and hot. It lifts those deposits and holds them into suspension in the old oil. Because the last thing we want to do is take deposits off the top end of the engine and just smear them into the oil pan. I mean, that's a net negative.
Yeah.
But it holds them in suspension so that we can drain them out, and it leaves us with nice, clean metal surfaces. And if our goal there is to free up those piston rings and just reestablish that good seal, we do that, our compression goes up, our oil consumption goes down. If you've noticed that between oil changes, your level on your dipstick starts to drop, a lot of times that's why. And the car just runs and drives a lot better. It runs and drives like it did when it was new.
So a couple of key points that I wanted to reiterate with that service and what you're saying is to the consumers is, one, the restoration of power, and you're gaining that from that seal being regained and boosting compression back up. And you know, a lot of times we'll do these services and we'll have customers. I mean, and it's an instantaneous thing. Like it comes in one way and it goes out the other way. And a lot of times we'll have customers come back in and just say, man, it's in the seat of your pants feeling from that side of it. But then along with that is fuel economy, being able to, you know, because you're getting more bang for your buck out of the compressioner, out of the engine with that new compression that you've restored. And so fuel economy is improved from that side of things. But then the third thing you mentioned that I wanted to talk about a little more was oil consumption. And a lot of people don't understand, or I guess with the modern vehicles, you know, years ago, you would get fuel in your vehicle and they would go through and check the tires, you know, check the oil levels, top off tire pressure, stuff like that. I mean, I think a large majority of consumers today never even look under the hood from that side of things.
You're right.
And oil consumption is a huge thing, and it is even more and more so, again, with these lower tension rings and then from lack of maintenance, or if there is any sludge or buildup in an engine, it's very easy for an engine to consume enough oil within a certain maintenance to really almost starve itself from oil if it's consuming that much oil.
I've had a few vehicles over the years that we've, you know, we do a lot of demos in the shop because we want to show how the product works so that our customers feel comfortable selling it. And, you know, there's been several situations over the years where we're going to do an EPR demo. And before we even are getting started, we pull the dipstick and there's no oil on it, you know. And sometimes you're a quart and a half, even 2 quarts low on oil. Certain models are you know, particularly notorious for that. I've had that situation several times with like Chevy Equinox, Kia and Hyundai 2 liters. If you've, you probably, anybody who's owned a GM 5.3 liter at some point has had oil consumption issues. And it's just, you know, it's the trade-off. You get much more power and gas mileage out of your vehicle. It yields a product that is more fun to drive and that's a lot more efficient. But the trade-off is that, you know, it has maintenance needs that have to be addressed if you want to maintain those great qualities about it.
Well, like, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you said it's a trade-off, because by all means, you know, to the viewers, the low tension rings are a good thing for what they provide.
Absolutely.
You know, the other side of that I can think of is that, you know, we can tear a motor down with 150,000 miles. And I mean, it still has cross hatches in the cylinder walls of it. And, you know, years ago when you didn't have low tension rings, 100,000 miles, we were, you know, motors were pretty much like worn out at that
toast.
Point. Started smoking, you know, for other reasons. And when you get into the cylinders themselves being, you know, worn out, and then you're talking, you know, resleeving or boring an engine and extensive labor and you know, the trade-off on this is, like you said, different maintenance. There's nothing wrong with it. It just has to be maintained differently.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's good to think of maintenance in general as a small investment today that's going to pay off in the long run. I mean, if it can keep you from having to replace fuel injectors or do some sort of engine overhaul or something like that down the road, it's a small expense in the long-term scheme of things that, you know, also saves you from being stuck on the side of the road. So it's just a good thing. And I think that's where, like, you know, if whichever shop you go to, and especially here at Mel Hambleton, the service advisors here are really good at helping you kind of put together a plan, because, you know, nobody wants to be stuck doing all of that maintenance at once. So they're really good about, you know, putting together a plan that lets you break up those investments and kind of track and know what you need to do when, so you can plan for it and anticipate those things.
You know, great point there. It is a call-in show, 316-462-3673. Jump on the air here with Casey or myself, and let's get some automotive questions answered. Get the phones ringing. You know, today we are, instead of doing the BG products package of the MOA and CF5, we're going to give away a GDI service as well on top of that. So want some consumers to fill that and that seat of the pants feel. So let's get the phones ringing, 316-462-3673. And we've got a couple of people chimed in here. We got Delbert. Delbert said he was in yesterday and I stopped by and visited him. He took that Mach-E for a ride yesterday too. I think I seen him and one of the salesmen heading out in there. So good morning, Delbert, and thanks for the business yesterday. And then Fred Cross says, good morning, guys. So good morning to you too, Fred. So, but, you know, you brought up a point there just before, re-mentioned the call-in number, but about maintenance interval needs and who knows what they are. And there is no blanketed maintenance interval needs that covers everybody's driving condition. If that's exactly. One thing in this industry, you know, that I can say for certain is that everybody's service needs, interval needs, is going to be completely different. What are they using the vehicle for? What kind of conditions are they driving it in? Are they towing? Are they, you know, is it in town driving? Is it highway driving? And there is not a, there just cannot be a blanketed maintenance need out there that would cover everybody's needs and hit it accurately. You know, somebody that's doing a lot more highway driving, transmission service may go a little bit further than somebody that's, you know, just in town doing a lot of shifting. You know, every time you're shifting, you're gaining, that's heat. And what that fluid's job is to transfer heat out of those components. And so that's one of the things that, from the manufacturer standpoint, they have in the owner's manuals, they have maintenance guides that they go to. But again, that's just the minimum maintenance for that vehicle, the absolute minimum maintenance for that vehicle from that side. So I don't know, you could kind of talk about BG and what you guys do for your intervals and things like that, or interval recommendations and what you see from one manufacturer to the other manufacturer from that as well.
Yeah, and they've changed so much even since I started in the business in like 2009. But yeah, the manufacturers just date their base recommendations. And depending on what your plans are for your car, the base recommendations might be fine. You know, if you're going to keep your car long term, again, maintenance is a small investment that pays off in the long run. Me personally, like with my vehicles, you know, I do a transmission service every 30,000 miles. I do a fuel induction service once a year. I use MOA and EPR in every oil change, you know, and to me, it's just something that helps me get the most out of my car on a daily basis and protects it long term down the road from costly repairs and things like that. If you're looking at your maintenance needs and your mileage and stuff, and you are planning on holding onto that car long term, you know, it's good to come in and have a conversation with the service advisor about those needs. And they might be able to help you kind of get an idea of what the most important things are for your vehicle, for how you're using it, where you're driving it, how long you plan to keep it. And then, you know, again, put together a plan that you can kind of anticipate those needs as they come. But transmission service is a huge one. It's still one of the most common repairs that we see and one of the most costly.
Yeah.
If you're driving a truck, rear wheel drive or four wheel drive, you know, your differential and transfer case services are very important. I mean, there's a lot of power and torque gone through, you know, that goes through those differentials. So that's a big deal. Engine products and fuel products are the ones that, you know, help you get the most out of the car in terms of gas mileage and fuel economy and power and performance on a regular basis. So those are big. And then, you know, some of the other ones, it are vehicle dependent, like power steering service. You may have an electronic power steering service that, or power steering system that doesn't require regular service, whereas you might have an older vehicle with a rack and pinion system. And it's really important to make sure that stays lubricated and working the way it's supposed to.
So we're going to come back to this because I want to continue talking about that. But right now we got a caller on the line. Delbert is with us. Delbert, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Josh, thank you for sharing some time with us yesterday. You are a very busy person. with that, hey, we did get to ride in that Mach-E. Oh my God, what a car. I was so impressed. And you met my wife. She's not one that can really sit in the back seat, and she had no issues sitting in the back seat of that car. She loved it.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's a lot different. Have you been in the Mach-E? Or
I haven't
the Mach-E?
Yet.
So,
no.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite thing about it, Delbert?
Well, the smoothness of it. What I liked and disliked, kind of thing.
Uh huh.
The acceleration is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and we only ran the Premier, not the GT, which is still, I don't care who you are, that's better than any gas engine you're ever going to get. But we like the braking. When you let off the gas, it brakes for you. The only problem I see, which is the downfall in my opinion, is that when you're doing that, your brake lights aren't coming on unless they are, and I don't know it. But
yeah, so,
you know, so then the people behind you. So, yeah, it's great for slowing down, but I wouldn't want to use it for constant braking all the time for in town, you know. But, yeah, other than that, it was a great ride, great vehicle, and maybe that's something they're looking at. It's people are braking, those lights come on at a certain time so that people behind you know you're slowing down.
So,
yeah, with a regular car, you have to hit your brakes to slow down a little bit. Like that one slows you down.
Yeah, so there is a couple of things to that. One is the brake lights actually do come on when you let off the accelerator by themselves. But then two, that is a setting that can be changed. So in that center, there's a center stack or a center screen. It looks basically just like a decent sized iPad up there that you can actually change that. And they call it 1 foot or one pedal driving. On there. And so the benefit of having that system on like that, that when you let off the accelerator, that it's going into regenerative braking right then and there. And so it's actually recharging the batteries more aggressively than it would be if it was like a conventional car and it was just coasting to a stop. Even when it's doing that, there is some regenerative braking that's happening. It's just with the one pedal driving, it's more aggressive from that side of things. So, but again, that's all customizable. It's a crazy the amount of options that are in that thing. As far as, I mean, you can even make it make sounds, different sounds as you accelerate and stuff like that. Sounds like the,
we tried that.
Yeah.
It says after 45 hours, I think they took the sound, turns itself off, but then it turns back on when you get below that.
Yeah, it sounds like a little Jetsons mobile when you go to take off or something. So, but I can't.
Yeah, the ride was awesome. Thank you guys for doing that. We got to get some more people out there so you can sell that car, man. Get that out there. Mm-hmm. And they got it in black, guys. So get out there and look at that car and drive it so that we can get that thing sold and get some more coming in.
There you go.
They are order only, I believe. Is that right, Josh? Order only?
Say that one more time.
They're an order only. You can only order them.
Yeah. So,
buy one.
Yeah. So currently it's the status of that. We've got more, coming in or more on the way, from that side. This one is actually for our courtesy transportation program. And so this is just kind of like a demo so we can get users in it. And you know, experience the difference because it is completely different to drive this thing versus a conventional vehicle for sure. So, but when it hits,
It is different. It is different, but you know, it really has the feel of a conventional vehicle.
Yeah.
So I was kind of impressed with that. I mean, yes, it's got the torque. That's the biggest difference. But when you're just driving it, it's kind of got that same feeling. It's just the biggest thing you notice is that, man, it'll go. So, you hit the pump, it'll go.
Yep. You got a steering wheel or a joystick?
Yeah,
wish it had a joystick, but the steering wheel is great too. Nice and thick and plush. The interior is just phenomenally designed. The comfort of it, you know, I have a Ford Escape. You guys saw that. And the comfort of that vehicle compared to mine, which I think mine's comfortable, is so much better. You know, they really did a great job in getting the seats comfortable, and they still hold you in that hug type situation when you need to corner. Not that we did that, by the way. Just saying,
but you know, one of the things that
we kept it sane. Actually, we did. We kept it sane. I had my wife in the car, so we had to keep it sane. But
one of the things that I really enjoy about that vehicle is the lane keeping system. You know, it's on a whole nother level than what I've seen with previously. And the main reason for that is because here it's going to be very shortly. It's going to be hands-free driving on that particular model especially. But that thing, it'll keep you right in the lane and keep you headed right down the road exactly where you want to go. So it's very impressive. So
yeah, and if they were thinking about the competition with Tesla, I'm not going to say because I never drove a Tesla, but I can tell you the price-wise, they've got the price where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Beat Tesla, so that for in that case they're good. I'd like to see it lower just because I'm a cheap guy, but
yeah, they have the one we had here is a premium model. They've got a lot of different other models out there that just to mate every budget. Of course, they also have the GT. We should be seeing that hopefully here before too long. But it's going to be the other way on price, not lower. But
yeah,
so
yeah, that's true. Well, but just for those thinking about looking at that car, you know, the premium is pretty good price point for just about everybody. I think it's around 45. Is that right? 45K.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's closer to 40 on this black one here. So
is it okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's fully loaded, guys. So don't think it's not. They did a great job getting the packages together, I think, and I'd love to see the GT, but it's going to be way out of my price range. But this here, I could afford if I really wanted to have an electric vehicle and something that could get me 250 miles, because that's its range currently, and I think they're going to work on extending that later on once they start selling more of these. As I'm thinking, once we get to that 500 mile range, these cars are going to be taken over.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, hey, Delbert, appreciate the call. Thanks for the comments.
Let's go back to the BG products.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're.
We got the BGs in ours, and it does increase your slightly only, but does increase your highway mileage per gallon. So, we notice that every time we get it, and I get it every time that I come in there. And like a lot of people don't know, I came from Oklahoma City to get my products in because I trust Mel Helms and Ford with my vehicles. I live in Oklahoma City and I don't trust these guys down here. Maybe later on I will, but right now I don't. Well, Mel Helms and Ford, you guys got my business.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you very much for the call, Delbert. Thanks for coming and visiting us yesterday. And thanks for taking that Mach-E for a test drive.
You guys are very welcome. And hey, everybody, get out there on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. Get these guys bigger. We need to get to 1,000. Let's go.
There we go. Thank you. Have a good day.
See you later.
All right.
See you, Delbert.
There you go. So we were talking about, maintenance intervals and stuff like that. We got another caller coming through, so we'll get to them. But I wanted to kind of continue that discussion on service intervals. And, you know, we still got to get to AC systems, too. And,
yeah, right.
get to talking about that. You know, spring has sprung, and we're right around the corner on that. And it won't be long, and we'll be in the heat. So let's go to the phones and talk to Daryl. Daryl, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. I've got a older model Ranger. And I have never changed the, it's got a four manual transmission in it. And I've never changed the transmission fluid. And I've got about 60,000 miles on it. How often do they change fluid on a standard transmission like that? Six shift.
Daryl, that is a great question. And, you know, the differentials, and as we were talking about maintenance intervals and stuff like that, I view a manual transmission. It really depends on what fluids in that thing, in that Ranger. I do believe that it's gear oil in it. And so I would view it to be the same as like a differential, a rear differential, a front differential, things like that. And we typically see those around 45,000 miles. Well, the best thing to do is just take a sample of the fluid, see what it looks like, how it's, you know, and when that fluid starts changing colors, it should be a amber fluid. When it starts getting darker from that, then that means that, you know, it's absorbed heat, and the heat is what's changed that fluid color. So Casey, I don't know if you got more to add to that or.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of those, sooner rather than later sort of things, but I wouldn't be surprised if you took it in, and especially given the age of your truck and stuff, if you had a service done here and got that fluid exchanged, I bet you'd probably feel a difference in the way it shifts. That's one of the, you don't run into a lot of manual transmissions anymore, but that's one of the consistent things that I hear back from customers is that, man, my car shifts so smooth after I got the fluid exchanged on it. And, you know, we always think in terms of mileage, but then there's also the consideration of time. And most of the manufacturers have a time and mileage recommendation on fluids. So I think for any of your petroleum based fluids, when you get to the 5 to 6 year mark, you're probably in the range of needing to change it, even if you're not driving a ton of miles, just because there's so much opportunity for humidity and stuff like that. It'll collect moisture and things. It's a good idea to be a little proactive about those.
You know,
That's what I was wondering, because it's always shifted real smooth all the years I've had it. But lately, it just seemed like it's a little harder to get into each gear. And that was why I was asking.
Yeah, I think that would probably make a big difference on the way it's shifting and stuff. It'd be a good idea to go get that changed out.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Daryl. Daryl brings up, or you bring up a good point as far as the intervals, but then let's talk about a little bit further, and Daryl, if you're still listening, but going from the factory fluid to what we would be putting in that.
And like manual transmission and transfer case fluids, there's a lot of different ones out there. Some better than others, but you know, it's kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind types of fluids, even differential fluids the same way. I think a lot of people just kind of forget that it's back there. And that fluid has its work cut out for it. I mean, there's, you know, it's just a gearbox with an oil in it. You know, mm-hmm. There's no filtration, there's no cooling system, anything like that. And I mean, think about your rear differential, all of the power and torque that your engine generates, all of it, 100% gets channeled through that transfer case and gearbox. So it can really take a toll on that fluid. You'll end up first, starting to leave deposits behind on the components, which is not great. I mean, there's not really a lot you can do unless you manually clean those. Two, as the film strength of the fluid breaks down, which is film strength is really like how good is your fluid at staying where you need it when you need it most. And when that film strength breaks down, you get inadequate lubrication. I mean, you can you just don't have the degree of protection that you would otherwise. And so, you know, being a little proactive about differential and transfer case is a good thing. And factory fluids, some are good, some are bad. Sometimes, you know, in a manual transmission, you know, you'll find something pretty close to just regular old automatic transmission fluid in there. Getting a full synthetic GL4 fluid, which is like what you guys use, that tends to make a big difference on the smoothness of the shifting. And I know we've got a several like classic car clubs, you know, national clubs or whatever that that'll talk back and forth with BG about service recommendations and stuff. And you know, there's an article floating around out there about this very subject, talking about, you know, Mustangs and our full synthetic transfer case fluid, manual transmission fluid. It's called Synchro Shift 2, and they're just amazed at what a difference it made on it. So I think it's a good thing, especially if you have a manual transmission. It's not an expensive service, and it'd probably shock you how much different it is after you have it serviced.
You know, and you brought up a great point there too, as far as with every service interval, everybody always thinks time. You know, they think of mileage. You know, I got to do that at this miles, or this needs to be done around this miles. And there are, again, going back to each and every individual consumer and how they use the vehicle. And in some cases, it's how they don't use the vehicle can be just as critical. When that vehicle is just sitting there, like you said, the humidity, the moisture, that fluid is absorbing that. And as water is being added to fluid, all it's going to do is degrade the fluid.
Exactly.
And then it's not going to be able to do its job from there. So there's definitely a time interval that goes along with the mileage side of things. But again, that having somebody look over that vehicle every so often, and somebody that has seen, you know, many of those vehicles to know what fails on them, what to look for, you know, what's good, what's bad, what's where, what's not, from that side of things, that there's no price that can be put on that as far as long-term, longevity of the vehicle. And I go back in the shop almost on a daily basis and just look around and seeing larger repairs being done that wouldn't have to be performed had the maintenance interval been just a little bit different, or changed one way or the other, or, you know, service from that side. And the general consumption among consumers is, well, I know I need my oil changed. And so they get the oil changed, but there's so many other fluids in the vehicle, that people just, you know, like you said, out of sight, out of mind, from that side of it.
The one, especially right now, that coming into warm weather and stuff, that I always start to think about a lot is the coolant service. You know, we talked about manufacturer recommendations being like the bare minimum, mm-hmm. right? That's to get you through the warranty period and protect the vehicle for in the short term. But, you know, depending on what you're going to do with your car, you probably want to be a little more proactive than that. Coolant especially is one that I see going unserviced for long periods of time. I mean, if you look in your owner's manual, your coolant probably says it's 150,000 mile coolant, but it usually has kind of like an out clause in there that says 5 years or 7 years is the time interval on it. And I think that most customers are hitting that 5 to 7 year period much sooner than they're hitting 150,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know, by those own guidelines, if you've got a 2015 or so vehicle or older, and you've never had a coolant service, I mean, you're due for one by manufacturer recommendations. And, you know, we talk about the most common preventable repairs. I mean, you guys do coolant repairs all day long, every day, things like water pumps and heater cores,
hoses. Yeah. Exactly. From that side of things.
And stuff that degrades when your coolant isn't doing its job, or when it's actively degrading the metal components.
You know, and I think why you're talking about that too, is that when the manufacturer puts that 150,000 mile interval out there, or even, you know, on coolants now, there's so many different kinds of coolants. I mean, so many different colors of coolants. There's a rainbow of coolants out there. And each one of them has their purpose, for sure. There's even universal coolants out there, but I've seen advertisements for lifetime. I've seen advertisements for, you know, several thousand, 100,000 miles from that side as far as the coolant itself. Well, that coolant does have that claim to it, but what it's claiming is the freeze point, not the pH level. And the pH level is what drops out of that coolant. And that's what eats up the water pump or takes out a heater core is the pH level. If it's too high, you're acidic. If it's too low, then you're going to get rust and contaminants in there.
If your pH level on your pool falls out of balance, you know, you're going to come out of that thing with a rash. If your pH level goes out of balance on your fish tank, you're going to have a bunch of dead fish on your hands. In your cooling system, you're talking about rust, scale, and corrosion. And, you know, just as a wait till your car is cool, obviously you don't want to do this when it's warm, but pop your radiator cap. If you have a little bit older vehicle, a huge percentage of the time when you pop that radiator cap off, you look at the bottom of it and there's rust built up around the inside. Coolant service works. The cleaner that like Mel uses is, it's a same sort of concept as like CLR. You've seen the example with like the shower head that's all clogged with rust, and they'll put the CLR up there and it'll free it up. Same sort of thing there. These guys put a cleaner in that dissolves that rust and scale inside the cooling system. They use a machine that does a full fluid exchange. It's a back flush, meaning the car's off. We push coolant backwards through the system so we can get almost 100% of that old stuff out. And then we treat it with a conditioner pack that is more or less an anti-corrosion agent. It coats those clean metal components and just is a protective layer in the future when that coolant starts to degrade itself. So you can prevent a lot of wear and tear just by being, you know, again, proactive. But if you had a nickel for every time I said proactive, right?
You know, it really is, though, because a nickel now is, you know, $10, $15, $20 later.
If you had a nickel for every time I said proactive in the last 30 minutes, you could buy a coolant
service. You could buy a coolant flush. So understand that. Well, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. Let's talk about anything automotive. Whatever is ailing you, want to talk about BG products. You know, Casey, the next thing I wanted to talk about is the sun. I've seen it. It's come out. The times change. The grass is growing.
It's rumored that it still exists.
It's rumors that it's still out there and that we're going to be seeing it sometime soon. So I do believe spring is right around the corner. You know, I can think of several years past where it just seems like you go from what is kind of winter weather to bam, now we're in summer, you know, not get much of a spring, and it could happen again. But AC systems, you know, I can't believe we're talking about that already, but it's right around the corner. And so now's the time to get ready for that because it is coming. So what does BG have for AC systems that will help them?
So we've got a few different things. Our big concern with AC systems is mold, mildew, and bacteria. We've been a little sensitive to those things a little more than normal over the past year because obviously of health concerns and stuff like that. But, you know, your AC system, it's cold, it's damp, it's a breeding ground for those things. Bacteria, mold, mildew, all of those things have a tendency to collect inside different parts of the AC system from the vents to the evaporator core. So a lot of what we do with the AC system is just clean that stuff out.
You know, and that's something that, while we're kind of talking about the ventilation side of that is I wish that manufacturers would just put a cabin air filter across the board in every car and leave it there. A lot of consumers don't even know that that's a thing or could be a thing, but there are a large majority of them, and it's becoming more and more popular or more and more common that you would have a cabin air filter. And so basically it's just like an air pre-filtration before that air, because when you have your heater or air on, it's bringing outside air into the cabin. Well, with that outside air comes all the dust, all the particles, all the allergens, all of that stuff come right in into the cabin as well. So that's one of the things I'd love to see every vehicle have a cabin air filter as well. But then you're talking about mold and mildew building up on the evaporator, the heater core inside. And then, so you guys have a service that, that helps that. So,
yeah. And it's, so what we do is, like, and it's typically something that we pair with a cabin filter. So the guys will actually pull your cabin filter out if you have one. They have a long hose that they snake down through the blower motor, and they have a disinfecting foam that they spray into that box. And basically the blower motor pushes it through the evaporator core and kills all of that buildup that's in there.
So, Casey, we're going to come back to this, but right now we got a caller on the line. So we're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Rob. Rob, you're on Live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just purchased a 2020 Ford F-150.
Uh-huh.
And with the turbo in it. And when they put my front plate on them, they put it right in the middle because that's the only place you can put it. Is that going to inhibit any air to the turbo cooling?
You know, Rob, that's a great question on that deal. And the intercoolers on those back years ago, like around 20, gosh, I think it was maybe 2013, 2014, they actually had the tag brackets off to one side for airflow around that intercooler. But they've since kind of redesigned how that takes in air. And so now it's not as, as long as it's a Ford tag bracket, you are you are fine with that, and it's okay where it's at. Do you know? Do you know? And it doesn't matter one way or the other. Was that the 3.5 liter or was it the 2.7?
3.5.
Yeah. So no, it doesn't matter either way, from that side of it. But that's a great question. And like I said, years ago they had them off. I think it was like 13 and 14 models. They had it off to one side for a little while. So. But that's a good question. How are you enjoying that truck?
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yep. Well, very good. Awesome. Well, yeah, that's you should be good to go on that tag bracket, all right?
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673 is the number to jump on the air here with us. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about automotive-wise. So, but we're talking about AC systems, a ventilation system more specifically, and the mold and mildew and the service that you guys have for the AC system service that's going to clean out the mold and mildew that would be on a evaporator. You know, the other thing is just dust and dirt on that. What is crazy about that service, I did this with the advisors a while back. I pulled each one of them. We did a AC vent service on them, and I kept the fluid that came out of the drain.
Oh, yeah.
For it. And I mean, we had everything from, cause you know, the difference or what we were talking about was just maintenance intervals and how to tell somebody what their maintenance intervals needs are. And I mean, we've had everything from, you know, a relatively new vehicle, 10, 15,000 miles all the way up to, you know, 120 plus, and all different makes and models and stuff like that. And everybody's sitting around the table with their jar of whatever their AC vent service was. Yeah. And I mean, it was just different. And so we were talking about time and mileage and how they looked, and you could see just the different stages of it, and nobody wanted to drink it. Everybody was hands off on, but that it's just a pure white foam that you inject into that thing. And then what comes out at the bottom is just nasty, dirty.
Kind of like when you go to the dentist and he starts cleaning like your, the very back, your molars. And he's like making those noises like,
not this again.
Okay. It's like that's, I'm sure there's some a degree of embarrassment there, but yeah, it's amazing like what comes out of them. And it, old vehicles, new vehicles, I mean, a lot of it depends on driving conditions. If you live on a dirt road, you're gonna have a lot of dirt build up inside the system. Whenever we do that service, you know, we like to catch the stuff that drips out of the drain hole, and it's typically pretty gross. I mean, it's usually pretty gross what comes out of there. But yeah, I mean, I remember like when I was a kid, you know, we'd go visit my great grandparents in California, And they had one of those classy ride. You remember the old like Mercury Sable wagons?
Yeah.
Big round back end on it. It's interesting design. But they had one of those, and it's in California, and it's so hot. But my grandma, she had breathing issues, and she couldn't run the AC system or else she couldn't breathe. I mean, literally made her throat feel like it was closing up. And that's the effect, I think, that a lot of people get from that dirty air that's being pumped through their system. It's something that's easy to forget about, but man, if you go sit in your car right now, and you know, if you've ever opened up like a bag of Fritos,
that, that initial whiff.
If your car smells like that, it's probably time to address the AC system.
You know, and then from there, we're cleaning out the evaporator, but then all the ducting, all the air work after that, and the registers as well. So it's a great service, and especially kind of this time of year when we're getting ready to make that transition from heating to air conditioning from that side of things. So now let's talk about the other side of the coin of just getting cold air.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what everybody wants, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to turn that thing on and get cold air out of it. Yeah, there's a couple of things that factor into that. You know, one is your evaporator core, is it covered in dirt and debris and stuff like that? If that's the case, you're not going to get the kind of cooling effect out of it that you want. And I've seen that service several times. You know, we'd have a 5 to 8 degree shift between, you know, when we started and when we finished by cleaning off that kind of radiator
just
in there,
just allowing you to get the airflow that you need across the converter. For sure, right. Across the evaporator, for sure.
That, and you know, the other side is like your AC compressor. Is it adequately lubricated? Have you added any lubricant to it over the years? You know, if you got an older car, it's probably about time to you know, maybe have a full AC service done on that. Make sure you've got the right amount of compressor oil in there.
Well, again, you know, it's mechanical, just like everything else, has moving parts in it. A lot of people don't understand. They think AC systems instantly. They think Freon or refrigerant from that side. But that system has oil in it, too. And you guys make a great product that that we use as part of our AC system service. But the oils, let's talk about the oils in the AC system and kind of what you guys have formulated and why you recommend using it.
Yeah, it's another thing that's changed a lot over the years. You know, the EPA has different requirements for AC systems now, and that means that refrigerants have changed, and that's not an area that BG gets into, but that's one that's really important and one that these guys watch pretty carefully. But on top of that, you know, the oil that we use along with those refrigerants has changed a lot. So you have to have an oil that's compliant with today's refrigerants to make sure that you're getting the most out of the AC system.
You know, the other thing along with oils like you're talking about is the hybrids. Hybrids actually take a different oil compared to conventional AC systems, you know, for the purpose of electrolysis from that side of things. And so with that oil, you have dyes in there as well, yeah. Which is very... it's a bonus for future use. The hope is to not to need it, but if it's already in there, later on down the road, you develop a leak and you have dye in your oil, then it's going to be able to be detected sooner. Maybe a less service visit, one less service visit from having to do that.
It's
as
like
well.
A black light that they mm-hmm. shine on,
yep,
right?
And yep.
It'll pick it up.
Yeah, just a lime green juice. It looks like an alien from that side of things, and then you put a black light on it and it's able to pick it up and help with that as well. So
if the technician spills it, he has green glow on his fingers for 2 years.
Yeah, for a little while. So but yeah, it's definitely that time of year to start thinking about AC systems and what they what preventative maintenance in them, so that when you're ready to use them here very shortly, that they come on and everything works for you. So, well, very cool. Well, Casey, thank you very much for coming in today and hanging out with us and visiting with us, talking about BGs. Thanks to all the great callers and messages that we got up here for calling in and visiting with us as well. I wanted to thank the sponsors of the show, which is going to be BG Products, all the great preventative maintenance items that we have right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford. Big Corner Creative, whether you need social, digital, traditional media advertisements, they do window wraps, race car wraps, anything in the marketing and advertisement, as they say down there, just Google us. So get on Google and search them up and see what they have to offer. The other one is Go-To Rent. Right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford, you know, as we talked, spring break, I think, was last week for some people and the week before for some others, but summer is right around the corner. So if you need something larger to take to grandma's house or on summer vacation, give us a call right inside here at Go-To Rent. Everybody, thank you very much and have a great week, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
See you later.